Okay. It's a little difficult after lunch. I think you people start feeling sleepy after lunch, so I'll be very slow. welcome to this security track, information security track. My name is Dinesh Yadav, and I manage Asia Pacific security business. I've been doing security business for almost 10 years now, and this is a very interesting topic, and I'll take you through the reason why this is very, very important for different reasons. All right. Now, let's quickly start with some of the big news items that you must have heard. This morning we heard about data, storage, data protection, security. Now, most customers or businesses, they deal with information about employees, about customers, about partners. So they have a lot of information about these people, whether it's employees, customers, partners. And if you are in some sort of financial business or you're selling something, you take credit card, you store a lot of information about the credit card number, sometimes credit card PIN. So there are some of the cases. For example, last year, TJ Maxx is a US company, and they lost about 45 million credit card user information. 45 million users with the credit card from their branch. And in the end, when they finished the investigation, the number went to about 90 million, 93 or 94 million loss of credit card information from their branches, because they were storing all the information about the credit card, debit card. And so when you go and buy something from this is a retail company, they sell a lot of home appliances, home goods. So when you buy something, you swipe your credit card, they store the information about your credit. Say, for example, you don't like something and you want to return, so they want to make sure they have that information. But someone stole all that information, about 90,000 users. So this is very, very difficult. So we need to make sure the data, whether it's your employee data, customer data, or partner, we need to secure that. And there are many other cases. I'll not go into details. Now, let's see. Okay, when you talk about risk, what is that risk here? We talked about losing information, but at the same time, the company I talked about, TJ Maxx, when they lost so many credit card information, the customers, they stopped going to that company for buying something. So they lost their business. So you can lose your business, your brand. Okay? So it's very, very important. And also, we need to understand about the legal implications. By legal implication, I mean there are a lot of compliance regulations. Has anyone heard of PCI, Payment Card Industry Regulation? No? So any company that deals with credit card, whether it's American Express, Visa, MasterCard, so if you are an issuer of the credit card, like a bank or somebody, company who's issuing the credit card, and if you are a retail company, you're selling something by accepting a credit card. So there's a standard called Payment Card Industry Standard. So that basically asks you to have some security regulations. If you don't have those security in place, you can be liable to a lot of fines. So that's one of the example of regulations, legal and regulatory. Also, we need to understand security is not just the security officer's job. Nowadays in companies we have security officer, but it is not his job only. The reason is all these, because you can lose your business. If the business is out of business, then you might be a system operator or an IT administrator. You lose your job. So as a company, everyone from a CIO, CEO for regulations, and also the IT security, but each and every employee should be aware of the security policies. They should not be using internet when they are in office to do non-business work. So those kind of security exposures are always there. Okay, now let me quickly define a security architecture from IBM point of view. As I said, IBM has been in business of security for more than 40, 50 years. We started with mainframe, right? We had mainframe. That is a very, very secure system. You heard of RACF, R-A-C-F, RACF. Anyone from mainframe? Is someone works with a mainframe here? No one from mainframe? So mainframe is a very secure system. It has a RACF security administration. And everything is secured in one place. So it's very, very secure. But at the same time, that was a long time back. Now, after that, we had a lot of distributed system like Windows, Unix, you know, different kind of Unix, Linux. And also we have internet now. With internet, there are so many new applications, portals. So with growth of internet, we want to do business directly using internet with our customers. We want to sell something on the internet. We want to buy something, do the procurement, you know, business to business, business to consumer, and even for employees. You want to get all the information to your employees so they can do their work, they can get paid, their travel. But at the same time, what all security things we need to keep in mind when we are talking about security architecture. So IBM security architecture talks about different layers, all right? And these layers starts, we have to think about physical infrastructure. Physical infrastructure, then it comes to your network, servers, and then you can keep going up, applications, data. Again, very, very important. We talked about data, and data is in different forms. Like there's a structured data. Structured data is in your database. And there are unstructured data, like your Excel files, your Microsoft PowerPoint files, okay? And your email, that's also unstructured data. So there are different kind of data. And data could be in rest, or it could be in motion when you're sending data from one person to another person. So that's data in motion. So we need to make sure we secure the data in all different stages of its movement. And another important aspect is people and identity. We'll talk more about this, because ultimately you're dealing with people, whether your employees, they are people, customers, they are people, right? Your partners, they're also people. So we need to make sure we have very secure policies and secure solutions around your user management. And then we talk about governance and compliance. We need to make sure we follow all the regulations, whether it's Sarbanes-Oxley. I talked about payment card industry standard. Similarly, here in China, government must have some I know they are coming with China SOX, Sarbanes-Oxley in coming year. So there are different regulations. So that's where we talk about governance and risk compliance management. All right. So we'll go in each of these layers. Now, IBM as a whole, we have solutions from STG, solutions from our services around consulting. ISS, we bought a company, IBM spent billions of dollars to buy a company called ISS, and we'll have a presentation today from them also. And then there are a lot of security software solutions within Tivoli, software business of IBM. So there are different areas within IBM that bring this whole architecture together, hardware, software, and services. So let's talk about the business challenges, why businesses are looking at security. Now, when I talk to different customers, I get two different definitions of security. One is your IT security. That's what it is. IT security is the people who are managing your firewall, your antivirus, intrusion detection, who are securing your perimeter. Their job is not to let bad people come in. Keep the bad people out. Okay? The hackers, virus, attacks, those kind of things. So normally there's a security organization within your organization that will take care of policies for firewall, email, you know, content. So that's one definition. There's another definition of security is from the business, line of business. So if you have a if you are a bank and you are a financial institution, for a bank, the line of business is driving applications, whether it's a home banking, right? As a consumer, I can be anywhere in the world. Like, I'm from IBM US, and right now I'm in Asia Pacific on assignment. But my bank is in the United States. But sitting here, I'm located in India now. From India, I can manage my bank. I make my payment from there. I got a house in the US, so I pay my electricity bill, telephone, water, everything from my bank. Okay, so using internet, I can do a lot of transactions, business as a consumer, right? So for a bank, it's a very critical application. Similarly, if it's a corporate customer, for example, IBM, when we have a bank, right, where we have all the money, we have transactions. So that's a corporate customer. So whether it's a corporate customer or a consumer, like a person, you and me, everybody. So what is security for these people who are driving business? So we call them line of business. For line of business, security is who can come in and what they can do. So who can come in means authentication. So if you work in IT systems, you know, whether you're managing Unix or Windows, any platform you're managing, you have applications running on those. So you do authentication by user ID password. So all of you must have user ID passwords, right? Is there anyone here who doesn't have a user ID and password or account? We need to have at least a Windows account to log into your desktop when you start your work in the morning. So for these people, the security means identification as to who is trying to come in, whether it's an employee, is a customer, is a partner, or is a hacker, right? So identification. Then is access control. Once you know who you are based on your profile, if you are employee, you should be able to access employee applications. If you are a customer, very high value customer, you should be able to access many more applications. But if you are a just new customer, maybe you don't need access to all the applications. So we need to make sure we define these. Now the point here is the line of business, how do they put security? What they do is they start putting security in each application, okay? So for example, if I have 20 applications, 5 for employees, 5 for corporate customers, another 5 for consumers, I start putting security in each application. So I have a user account for, say, for one person might have 10 user ID and passwords. Let me ask you a question here. Is there anyone in this room who has less than 5 accounts or user IDs? You might have a user ID for your Windows, for your email, okay? You might have for your intranet portal. You might have accounts for your, if you bank online, you might have a user ID or account for your bank, or maybe telephone companies. So if you start thinking about user ID that you manage, I'm sure each of us have more than 5 accounts. Okay? So that's the challenge. Now, the challenge, first challenge is we have a lot of user login. It's called single sign-on. So that's one problem. You start managing users in different places with different IDs and passwords. Second is putting security in each application. As per a study in the US, to write security in each application, we spend about, there's a customer, financial customer, who did a study for us. They said they were spending about $50,000 to code security. That is, who can come in, what they can do in each application. And this financial institution has 400 applications. So now you can do the math. 400 applications and $50,000 for one application. So they are spending more than $2 million, or maybe more. So that's another challenge, the cost of security. One is user management. Second is cost of security. So user management, cost of security, to give you an example, as per Gartner, to manage user accounts, people have help desk. You heard of help desk? Okay. So help desk, as per Gartner, 60% of the time they spend in resetting the password. Because as a user, when you have a lot of passwords, you start forgetting. When you forget, then you start calling help desk. So help desk is spending a lot of time resetting passwords. So, and there's a study that it costs about $20 to manage one or reset one password. So you can now see how much time your administration or IT help desk is spending managing the passwords and user accounts. So that's why it's very, very important for us to understand how to manage the users' identities effectively. Okay. Again, what I've done is I've summarized what I said earlier, the business reason. First of all, when a new user comes in, it could be an employee or a customer who wants to do business with you. It takes weeks to get this person productive, means to give him all the accounts, because he might need accounts for Windows, for network, for different applications, email account from different. So there are different areas within an IT infrastructure that deals with those accounts. So it takes, and there are processes. You need HR from human resource. They'll fill out a form. The manager needs to approve as to what kind of access this person needs. And then that paper will go to IT help desk. So the whole process takes time. And then someone needs to physically go and create an account on Windows, in email system, in the different applications like SAP or PeopleSoft or whatever application they need access to. So that's why it takes time, weeks. No? Then we talked about help desk costs. We already talked about that. Another problem that we have seen is if you go and do an audit of your systems, if you go and look at your Unix users or Windows users, what we'll find is about 50 to 60% of your accounts are invalid. We call them orphan account. Orphan accounts are accounts for people who left your company, or maybe they were temporary workers. So a lot of companies, they hire people for temporary, maybe busy when you're New Year's or Christmas time. For 2 months, they'll hire a lot of contract workers. When the high season is over, they are removed. But what happens is we still leave their accounts in the system. So that's why if you look at those accounts, it's a big security exposure because the person with the account can access these systems from outside because of internet connection. Okay. And as I said, the cost of development of application, they say about 30% the cost of application development is to code security. So we need to think about all these reasons why customers are looking for security as a. Okay, now let's look at different areas when you are looking about identity or user management and compliance. What all different areas you need to think of? So if you start looking at the bottom, you see the directory. Most customers, as per if I look at Forrester, the Forrester is another company in the US, what they have done research. Average company has more than 160 directories. Okay. And as per Gartner, it's about 130. So we have a lot of places we have where we have information about the users. So you'll have a separate directory for your employees. Okay. There'll be a directory for customers, for your partners, and each operating system has its own directory. Windows, Unix, email. So as a reason, if we start counting all these directories, we have multiple directories. So first area we need to think about, how do you manage these different directories? Now, it is impossible to get one directory because for different reasons, you have different products from different companies, and for different reasons, you can't have one directory. So we need to think about virtual directory. And what is a virtual directory? It allows you to, we'll talk about a little bit more how it works. So you need to have a way to pass on the user information. Okay, so that's, I'll talk about that. And they need to think about identity management. Identity management is a solution that allows you to create new users, delete users, and also manage their user profile during whenever there's a change. So if somebody gets promoted or changes job from sales to marketing or finance to operations, so how do we change all those, make changes? So that's a identity management. And then you need to think about access management as to who can come in. That's authorization. And finally, you need to think about privileged user monitoring. So one of the concerns we have seen is the people who are administrators, DBAs, database administrators, or Unix administrators, or application owners, they have all the access to the systems, right? So those are the users we call privileged users. How do we monitor those users and their access? That's again very, very important. And finally, is something called federated identity management. If you heard about SOA, service-oriented architecture, nowadays people are thinking of using a very flexible architecture where you can share services. If you are a service provider, you can provide services using SOA or a distributed model. So that's where federation comes in. So how do you secure users in a federated environment? Now, let's quickly, I got 10 minutes. I'll very briefly explain to you how does the whole system work. For example, in this diagram, you'll see on top, you see some directories. Okay, those are the ERPs you are for enterprise resource planning for partners, CRM for your customers, and HR for employees. Those are your most reliable directory for this particular group, whether it's employee, HR, customers in CRM. And on the other side of the slide, you'll see your legacy systems like your email, your Windows, Unix accounts, mainframe, right? These are the accounts or the systems that run your business. And on my left side, you'll see the users, different users coming in, whether it's an employee or a customer or partner. They can come directly or they might come through a portal or a proxy, okay? So now, in this kind of environment, the first challenge is how do you manage users from different directories and from different legacy system. So first solution that comes into play is called identity management. This is a solution that allows you to create new users, delete users, reset their passwords, in short, managing the life cycle of user. Now, subsequently, we talked about Meta Directory. So Meta Directory is a tool that allows you to sync information. For example, there's a change in your HR database. One of a person gets married, especially the woman. I'm not sure about in China, but in like in the US or in India, if a woman gets married, they change their last name. Okay? They get the name of their husband. So suddenly the email account changes. The name, last name changes, the email account changes, and that is changed in the HR. So how do you make sure that email account is changed in your email system or maybe your Unix or Windows systems, wherever, or any application that needs an email? So the Meta Directory takes that change. When you change email, say in your email system, you'll go and make changes in all the different operating systems, applications where you need to make the change, right? Or you can also store in a directory like any LDAP directory, Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, LDAP. Now, the next area that comes is a web single sign-on or access control solution. So what customers have done over years, they have created a portal to secure applications that are behind. So you started with the Unix, Windows servers, and then you put web applications, a portal. So that's another area that gives you single sign-on and access control. It's called access management. And similarly, there's, in case you're talking about Federation or SOA, the other solution is Federated Single Sign-On. So that solution basically allows you to do a single sign-on when you're dealing with across domains, from one domain to another. So what are the different solutions that IBM has in this area? If you look at these, we have Identity Manager, Tivoli, IBM Identity Manager, Directory Server. We have Access Manager for Operating System. And we have Federated Identity Manager. So we have solutions in each of these areas to manage the users in different accounts. Okay, since we are running short of time, I'll skip this one. So another area that's important is the compliance. You heard about privileged user monitoring. So what this solution does is it collects all the logging information about the users from different systems. So you see people, those are the users. Then you have technologies. We have different applications, databases, operating systems. So what you do is you collect all the logs from those users. And after you collect the log, you do normalization, and then you do a reporting on those users as to what they're. So this is another area we need to think about. How do you do compliance reporting on the users? So that's where the compliance management comes into play. Just quickly, I got 3 minutes, I'm told. I'll give you, share some examples with you. Like, for example, this is a telecom company in the U.S., Now, the challenge they had, if you look at, they have 750 network security devices. They have 60,000 different machines, hosts, okay? And they were processing about 5,000 events per minute, per second. So in this kind of environment, it's very hard to manually, like if a person is looking at the logs, he'll not find out if there's an attack, if there's a hacker who's trying to attack, or there's a virus attack coming in. So what they've done is they have used our SIEM's solution to centralize everything. So there's a tool that takes care of all the events. Now, what they have done, they have found is they have found 75% reduction in their incident handling time, okay? And they can do the root cause analysis and respond to attack much faster now, approximately 90% faster. At the same time, they have now less people managing the security infrastructure. So they had 40 analysts. Okay. Now they have about 8 people managing the same work that they were doing earlier. Let's look at some of the analysts quickly. I want to spend some time talking about these different analysts, whether it's a Gartner or Forrester or IDC. They have been monitoring this whole IT security space, and as per them, IBM has done very well. We are positioned as leaders or challengers in most of the areas. Quickly, one last case scenario here on identity management. This is about ING. It's an insurance company. Now, they have similar challenges. Okay, they had operations in 130 countries. Okay, ING works in 130 countries, and they have more than 140,000 employees worldwide. To manage those users, they had a lot of challenges to when the users change profile or they left company. So they use our identity management solution as they did this ROI for us. They are saving almost $20 million a year in the cost of managing users. And this includes what we talked about, the password reset calls, okay, and the cost of attacks they have with the wrong accounts or accounts that are left in the systems, okay. And the time to create an account, give all the access, came from 10 days to 1 day, all right. So we are running short of time, but what I wanted to clear at high level describe is our security architecture, and then briefly go into solutions, and you'll go in more details about this later on. I'm told my time is up, so thank you very much.